was a crazy one yesterday in Oxnard, California, with the hour-long press conference that you heard on this radio station with the KNC Masterpiece. They will be broadcasting live in Cali today. It's Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our insider Bobby Belt with you, along with Peyton and Aiden in the back, live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. We had shots at Trayvon Diggs and Terrence Steele. Shots at Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott. J.J. Watt saying, anytime you can publicly take a dig at your star quarterback and your star pass rusher simultaneously, you just got to do it right before the season. Nothing makes guys want to fight for you more than hearing how upset you are that they got hurt while fighting for you. So, will there be some makeup? Will they just get over it? Will the check eventually be signed? These are questions stemming from the press conference yesterday on 105.3 The Fan.
If I were to power rank the insulting nature of contract negotiations, stuff he said at press conferences before, number one would be Zeke Who. That was very clearly like a directed, like, who cares? Number two would probably be something to do with CD. One of the times that he was just like, eh, do we? Who even knows what we need to do? And then somewhere behind that would be one of the things he said about Dak or this injury thing. To me, I didn't think this was as much of a slight as he could have thrown.
Your list is one of the worst I've ever heard in creation.
I just published it at CBS Sports.
The Steele Diggs thing. That's the worst.
Oh yeah, no, it is.
That's the worst.
I'm talking strictly about the guys in contract negotiations right now.
Okay,
like in terms of
You were talking about like when it comes to contracts. What he did yesterday, what he did with Dig now.
I think he would want the Steele one back.
I feel worse for Steele than I do Diggs. But he was basically like, we shouldn't have paid either one. We shouldn't have paid them when we did.
Yeah.
He also went into Mike Ducey. Mike Ducey was going for the headlines. And he asked Jerry if he ever thought about stepping down as general manager.
Well, I didn't have any trouble talking it off because those were obviously painful moments when I would be thinking like that. And I just, that's not why I'm here. That's not from my part, that's not what it's been about. And from that standpoint, and plus, what is such a misnomer? And I really want to emphasize this. Probably unlike most general managers. For instance, Mike, he's not here, so I talked about him when he was here and talked about him nicely and everything else, but Mike hadn't spent much time in the draft room when he was at Green Bay. That's not how I've operated as general manager of the Cowboys. I have Shoddy, I have Steven right at this particular time. Hell, Tad might even be in there. But my point is, there is such a inclusion and discussions. And as you know, you see it, I'm in the Senior Bowls, combines, all of that. All of that melds into a real good feeling about where we are, so that I'm not sitting up there throwing darts about a player. Or I'm not sitting here logically addressing financially about whether to extend the contract going forward. But I have huge incentive to do it right.
So what Jerry's trying to say is that there's a misnomer. Everyone is involved. There's a misnomer over inclusion and that, yeah, for a cocaine heartbeat, it went in and out of his head, the thought of stepping away as general manager. That was a nice way that he answered it.
Yeah, because he was... I mean, it's a question he's been asked a million times.
Yep.
He was never going to do it, and he never will do it.
Yep.
He's going to be the general manager of this team for, when it all said and done, it's going to wind up pushing 40 years, 45 years, 50 years. I mean, however long he has, he will be the GM.
I did get a text in the middle of that answer from somebody on the tennis courts.
Well.
And they said, just doing an arousal check on you for Jerry taking a random, Mike didn't have the qualifications I wanted. Talking about McCarthy not being the draft room guy that he wanted.
Did he take a shot? I thought he was just trying to say.
It's not a shot. It's more just like, he didn't have things the way I do them. Like, it was more like that.
I always think whenever he brings that up, he's trying to say, the Packers don't include the head coach like I do in the draft prep. That's what I take from him.
The Packers won a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah. Well, just don't be a smartass for 2 seconds. And let me get my point across. He's trying to say McCarthy inclusion, say here, it's more of a teamwork thing than anyone ever discusses. That's the nice way he answered that part of it. But then he started getting, I thought, aggressive and basically saying, I bought the team, so I'm going to do it this way. I rolled the dice. I took the gambles. I flirted with bankruptcy. So you're not going to tell me, he kept saying this, right? When you guys write, am I facing the heat? You don't bring no heat to me. I was face-to-face with bankruptcy. And because of that, I'm going to do it my way. It's my team. And while he was going through that, I just started to become infuriated. That was the angriest I was during the whole press conference because I just heard me, 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 my, my, my. It's like my five-year-old arguing with his sister over having toys. And then I became sad for the Metroplex because you hear other sports owners talk about they're a steward of the team, right? I'm just the placeholder. It's just my name at the top. Now, maybe a lot of them are full of BS when they're saying that, but a lot of people, at least publicly, who own teams say it's the city's team and it's my obligation, duty, and responsibility to do. Robert Kraft has recently said this. It's my obligation, duty, and responsibility to give the city championships. And Jerry Jones doesn't feel that way. And Jerry Jones certainly doesn't act that way. And that was my mixture of anger and then depression. And look, it's his right to do that. It's his right. He's exercised it from the beginning. But, and he may not give a rat's ass about it, it's also the fans' right to despise your football existence and wish that you were far, far away from the star. That, unfortunately, we were arguing about that. We weren't arguing. We were debating it in the commercial break. Like, when Jerry Jones is no longer the general manager, how many people are going to throw a parade over that? Like in Washington, they did for Dan Snyder leaving. So you can do it your way. And you can be stubborn. And you can believe, wait, he said this is the best way I believe to win a championship. With 30 years of nothing sitting right there in front of our faces, you had the gall to say that?
Settle down. Just
this is the best way I believe to do it, and you haven't even come close after 30 years. It was just a reminder. Reminder at this time of year. So
I'll
that was my.
Somebody else to ask these questions.
I know.
He won three. He will say he won three with doing it his way. So like
say it was Jimmy's way.
But he would say, who was the GM? I was the GM. It was still my decision.
You know, everyone believes it was Jimmy was the GM.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
He
I'm
can just, say it, he, but then yeah. What have you done 30 years since?
I mean, you know, you took your lump sum payment early on. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the guaranteed money up front, your signing bonus up front, and now we're just paying the pipe.
I'm just saying, you have the right. Go ahead, do it your way. Just know that the overwhelming majority of Cowboy fans label you as the number one hurdle and impediment to winning.
And
that's a fact.
And I think he would, if you were to put that in front of him, I think he would say, well, I agree. I'd say, because ultimately we haven't had success and the buck stops with me because I am the one who does make the decisions. This is my stuff. So yeah, ultimately that rests with me. It doesn't rest with anybody else. Just like, because he wants this environment where.
But he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Like, I mean, that's the, I don't think he
care about the suffering of a Dallas Cowboy fan. He doesn't care that the fan base, like.
He would say he's suffering more.
He would.
I would say
you can only speak to your own suffering, except for when you're talking about CeeDee Lamb and Zach Martin and injuries at training camp.
Right.
I would say, no, you're not suffering as much worth, you know, $10 billion.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good pillow. That's a hell of a parachute.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the old Jerry Seinfeld quote in his comedy. My life sucks too. Maybe a little bit less,
right?
But it sucks too.
And I'll repeat what I said yesterday. First off, it's a whole nother topic. I'll never, I'll rarely believe that the losses to teams hurt the diehard fans as much. Like, it ruins weeks. You can still go home to your mansion, and that's something you can never measure. But it hasn't hurt Jerry enough to change. It hasn't hurt Jerry enough to change titles.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, he's the organization functions wildly differently today than it did 20 years ago.
Oh, for sure. The moment, I mean, since Bill, really.
Let me ask you this. If Jerry Jones brought in, would Jerry Jones rather win 3 more championships with, give me a current, with Howie Roseman?
Mm-hmm.
No, 4. 4 titles with Howie Roseman or 1 with himself?
He would, it's a caveat.
One with himself as the GM.
I was going to say, Howie's title would have to be like executive vice president.
They hold a press conference and they go, I'm finally doing it. I'm stepping away. Howie Roseman is the new general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. Would he rather win 4 like that or 1 as is?
It's a non-starter for him to relinquish GM.
I know.
Yeah. So that's your answer. It's a non-starter. No, he can't.
But which?
He would rather win none. Because he said, like you said, if I'm cashing these checks, I need to make the decisions.
Yeah.
And so, like that, that's
and that
the
to me says every
to.
That to me says everything about a sports owner.
Now, could somebody say
it does? It does. The one thing is,
you're supposed to want 4 titles for the city.
But I don't.
You're supposed to want 4 titles for the players. You're supposed to want 4 titles for the Metroplex. Not the one for yourself.
What I don't know is. Are the words important? Are the words general manager so important that, like, no, Jerry, you're doing, we will keep the same organizational structure where you have the veto that you say you need as owner. We're just not going to have the title. I don't know
if
that.
The title is so important.
I know it is right. I don't know if there's ever a day or a scenario that you could present to him. There might be if you say, look, all the structure is still the same. It's still viewed the same. Like externally, it's just that title isn't going to be on it. I don't know if he would accept that. He might, but.
Like, even if he relinquished the GM role and he was still the owner still, and this goes for every owner, still has the final say.
Yeah.
In everything.
He reminded everyone, I write the Micah check. So he can talk about Adam Pacifica and Steven and Will McClay, but he loves to remind, yo, I'm still the big dog with the big stick. He told that to the reporters. I still signed that check.
Right, and it doesn't matter. Name the owner. Name the owner around the National Football League, whether they're the GM or not. You know, they're all in the room on draft day, right? They all have to give the thumbs up.
Yeah. The bigger problem may not be the title and all that. What happened yesterday...
It's the talking.
...is a microcosm. So if that happened publicly... Just the chaos that came out of that and the circus, what's happening behind the scenes and how do you have a championship organization with that? That's probably the bigger issue.
I think it's probably reversed though. I think a lot of times
public bluster.
I think the surface is a lot of the times much more chaotic than it is in reality behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Because I think there is a little bit of like a
showmanship.
All right, we you know, I'm giving comments on this negotiation. This better make an impact, it better land. And then I think behind the scenes that's what frustrated Mike McCarthy a lot of times, I think. Was Mike McCarthy felt like there was stability or certain things that he felt like were consistencies behind the scenes that then publicly he's like, okay, that seems to run counter to everything we've talked about. And I think that was really difficult for him to wrap his head around.
So there it is, a little Inside the Star here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Sean Tree, RJ Choppy, and our insider Bobby Roberto Belt. It is the return of PP in the morning. Wait. So I have to remind myself I'm an adult as I read the name of that segment. And Peyton says, get ready because your tattoos are a thing of the past. PP in the morning is next.
Well, congrats to Peyton Manna. He has found himself on the most toxic show on The Fan, and there's no number two.
He put together the single worst 30 minutes in live radio history.
That is right. It is Tuesday, 20. It's time for PP in the morning, baby. Every Tuesday at this time at 8:20. And guys, look,
Rima's pumping his fist for this segment.
Oh,
but
hell yeah, Rima, let's go.
Nothing else.
He's a huge fan. He texts me even when he's on vacation. He's texting me, love the payload, love PP in the morning. So huge Tolo Rima is in their side studio.
I can't wait for that boss air check.
How did Rossi in the morning go last week? I was not here for it.
Yeah, what did y'all talk about?
basically all the segments you sent yesterday, so he already had your material. Rossi and Kevin.
Good. Nice. Did you do
They're khaki? Coming to the big station party. They're getting the invite.
Oh, really? Did you call him Khaki Kev?
Was that his nickname? No, but Fred came in and explained that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Fred has a nickname for everyone out
What, Bobby?
So. No, Peyton was being mean, and he was trying to trick Kevin into, like, hey, that segment you do on the weekend, you should tell Sean you want to do it, and he'll probably let you do it. Like, he didn't actually tell him, but he said, like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna tell him to do that.
I mean, I'm not gonna be mean. I've listened a little bit. It's Khaki Kicks. He talks about, like, you know, wearing new shoes and everything. So talks about that. Gets a lot of feedback on the fan text 877-881-1053.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, if you need a segment instead of, you know, payload or whatever, you could do it. But
yeah,
you know, I didn't know how that would go with this first time in the morning. But
well, brought street cred to the show.
But guys,
I know how well both of them can read.
Oh man!
Oh jeez!
I gotta protect. I gotta protect my new guys now.
So I've never really been a tattoo guy. Do you guys have any tattoos at all? I don't think I've seen any on y'all.
Nope,
none.
Zero. Have you thought about getting tattoos?
Nope.
Why never, not? Never once.
Never crossed my mind.
You just don't like it. You think about? Because I've always thought
needles.
About like, yeah, needles, and I've thought about, okay, it looks good like now. But in 20, 30 years, it's still going to look good. When the skin gets wrinkly, is it going to look good?
I really wish someone would create, maybe there's a website out there of 70-year-olds with their tattoos. 75, 80-year-olds and how the tattoos look.
My grandpa had a bunch, and he was like, the day I was like 4 years old, because he got one in the army or whatever he was in, kept saying, never get one. And it looked like he had like three or four on his arm. It looked like the black blobs. Because the skin got, it was a Mickey Mouse, it was a palm tree.
Yeah.
And it was just, you couldn't even make them out at the end. Because obviously he got them in the 40s. So it's probably not nearly as good. So it just always been ingrained in me to never get one.
I just, like, to me, I'll have a hat where, like, I like this hat. I could see myself wearing this hat every day. And then after a year, I'm like, I don't want to wear this hat ever again. Like, I've grown tired of it. I don't want to put something on there where I'm like, after a year, I'm like, this is stupid. I don't want this on me anymore.
Right, like... The what's the chain? What's the Vin Diesel arm thing?
Oh, it was the barbed wire, right?
Barbed wire, the tramp stamp. Like,
The new stamp is the there's two new stamps. One is the girl, the under boob one,
okay,
and then the other one is the one that
they
goes
get it under,
yeah. They get the bit, it's like a almost looks like an eagle, like wings and everything you get under your breast line. And then the other one that a lot of
they
the girls
realize
are getting.
It's going to happen after you have children and we're not going to see the tattoo anymore?
No, you see half the tattoo is the middle of it. And then the other one is the one that goes along the spine. Like the one, it's words like all the way along the spine. Very small.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember this is third. Gosh.
If there was going to be one, it would have been at the beginning when I was hating this wedding ring and the comfortability of it.
I can see that.
And maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe tattooing the wedding ring so I don't have to put this on, but I've gotten used to it. Sorry.
Yeah, I couldn't. The only thing that might flip me there is a bit. That would be the only thing that would probably commit me to getting one.
And if we got Bobby drunk enough, and we're like, you won't do it, and challenge him, you know, like he almost got in a fight, I guess, at the, what's that urine bar we're going to go to?
Oh, Rudder Room.
Rudder Room.
I did not get that. Was Zach almost got in that fight? I
no,
was trying to defuse.
Afterwards, you went it carried over into a convenience store. I heard about.
Oh yeah, that got loud.
If it got to that point, we could maybe get you to rush into a parlor.
Well, Sean, good news for you is there might not be any more needles needed for this because tattoos were moving to freeze branding. Just like you're thinking, okay, freeze branding, what is this? Well, it's just like a horse. You know, you brand a horse with an image on there. And I guess tattoos are a thing of the past now. They're boring now. At least that's what the younger audience is saying nowadays. A new trend is having people freeze branding images onto their skin. Aiden has a video up on the fan cam Twitch and YouTube so you can see how it is. Yes, it's very painful, it looks like.
It looks cool, though.
They're
man.
Using dry ice. It looks amazing. Oh, the first, you know, 30 seconds of the image looks amazing. They're using dry ice or liquid nitrogen to brain themselves. Doctors are warning everyone that this is obviously not healthy for your skin in case you didn't have any common sense.
Well, is the needle with the, is I mean, what's so much more unhealthy about this?
It's like killing all the melanin in your skin. It's...
Tattoos.
It looks awesome, though,
it's
man.
It's frying it. And after, what's like, there's videos after, like, 6 or 8 months of this, that like it's turning your skin basically into like a bruise and a scar.
Dude,
a mixture of both.
Look at that one. Oh, that's God. One of these ones gone wrong. Look at that. Oh, that's like those Brussels sprouts you're talking about earlier.
All right, that's
yeah,
gross.
This is no good.
I'm out.
So yeah, people are like, you know, well, if it works for horses, why can't, you know, branding work for us humans? And it's obvious. There's a reason why they're on.
And how
horses.
Much more are they going to charge you because you have to draw the design into this metal, right?
Yeah, you would have to make the brand. Yeah.
Yeah, no go. So, yeah, what about you and Mackenzie?
I've never, with tattoos, I've never wanted one. She's wanted, like, you know, one of those, like, best friend tattoos where you get, like, a small one on, like, you know, your wrist or something. But she never, like, actually wanted to do it. She was like, oh, it'd be cute.
And why did they have to, why that color? Like, why did that start as the color, like, the dirty, dark green? I wonder why that became the go-to tattoo color. I'm sure there's some explanation for it, but these are where my brain goes.
You say no tattoo for Mackenzie. Mackenzie, when this just came up, struck me immediately. I thought she was probably a henna girl, though. Like, you remember the girls who used to get henna?
Oh, my God, really? I think she's too young for that.
No, I don't think so. Henna was still going around.
I don't think she's ever done it, but I don't think I've ever brought it up and asked. But, yeah, so freeze branding out. You know, you can weigh in on the fan text, 877-811-1053, if you would try this or not. But, guys, I need some help here. I really do. Look, so I just need a list in front of me of what, of who, when, where, why, how, of that I need a tip. Because it's an ongoing debate that people struggle with all the time. When do you tip? Who do you tip? So this happened a couple weeks ago. I was getting my window fixed, and the window guy came out there at my house. He fixed it. I paid him. He told me that, you know, how much it cost. I paid him, and then he went along with his day. And Mackenzie asked me, you know, well, how much did you tip him? And I kind of looked at her. I was like, tip? What? Yeah. I paid him for the window. And I'm thinking, and it wasn't like I was just being frugal with it. I seriously did not know, like, is that someone you tip? Because I don't tip, like, AC guys who repair something or car mechanics. But if you're doing, like, a service, I feel like maybe you have to tip them. So I don't know. Tell me if I'm an idiot here, if I'm wrong. I don't know.
I wouldn't have done it either. It wouldn't have come into my brain or my mind.
Yeah, we had a couch. We got a new couch a little bit ago. They moved. They brought the couch in. And I tipped them both. But that's like, you know, you're moving something in. You know, so I don't know. Like,
what does that mean? I mean, this guy's carrying equipment. He's doing physical labor.
But
tipping movers is definitely more customary.
Because they're a delivery. It's like a delivery guy.
Yes, I've done that as well.
Right, they're a delivery guy. Somebody who's fixing your window or whatever, I would assume that they're like, I don't know. It just seems they're not delivering. They're
delivering a new window.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like they're being paid for the job.
So, but see, this is the problem. We don't have clearly defined lines of tipping.
No, we don't.
This is a major problem. If someone comes and helps me on short notice, or it's taking them so much longer and they're just like there for two or three more hours, then I'll probably give a tip.
Like an emergency. If it was like a weekend, I was like, hey, dude, I need this window fixed now. Like, okay, you know, we'll be out there and fix it. Then yes. Or they hold it down with a cheap price. You know, I'll throw in a tip for that.
I wanted to reduce tip yesterday. I ordered sushi. Got it from Uber Eats, and it took like 30 more minutes than the longest projected time. And I was like, should I go back in here and take off this tip? Or do I blame the establishment? Because what's happening now is, I got two stops on the way. I got another stop on the way.
Yeah.
So I don't know who to punish in that situation or have a problem with.
From the
I did not end up retracting.
From the 901, you don't tip trade people. Trades. If you're in a trade, so... I guess plumbers, HVAC. Right.
So I just asked, I just threw it in there. You tell me if these are, you agree with these or not. I said, list some uncommon, I went to ChatGPT. I said, list some uncommon jobs that you might not think you need to tip that you actually should. Furniture delivery workers.
Yes.
Yes.
Movers.
Yes.
It says home cleaners tip if you're using a service that pays low flat rates.
Oh.
Yeah, like a cleaner.
Zero res. I tip zero res people.
Yeah. Mobile spray tan service technicians.
No.
Hotel housekeeping.
Mobile? So they come to your house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hotel housekeeping.
But you know that you're paying more for a service that comes to your house, right? Like I got a mobile car detail once, and I'm paying for the convenience of it.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. It's for some reason they're coming to you.
Yeah.
Like I would never tip if I went there, but they came to me.
Yeah.
I feel like.
But they're charging you more.
Yeah.
And what was the last one?
There's two more. It was hotel housekeeping.
I should more than I do.
I should.
And then DJs at private events, especially if they take requests or stay late.
Well, if they stay late. They're supposed to take requests.
So wait, they have a tip jar, and I'm just at the wedding. I'm not paying for the wedding.
Yeah, it just says DJs at private events.
Yeah, but if you know, it's like, hey, here's $5. Play the song next.
Ah, what a great vibe you had tonight. Yeah,
like karaoke, you're buying them, you're paying them off, you're bribing them.
Yeah,
you're bribing them to get your song on.
Yep.
So, all right, what is PP in the morning? We got one more song here, or one more not song here, one more story here for you guys.
Ross wouldn't have done that.
DJ over here.
When someone calls you and you answer the phone.
What is the nickname? DJ PP. That's what he's thinking of right here.
DJ the P.
Monday.
DJ the P. Look, when someone calls you and you answer your phone, what's the first thing you say?
What up?
What's up, baby?
Yo, what's up? Well, Gen Z is using the Uno reverse card on people when they call them. They voice ghost you, basically. It's when unknown numbers call you and they answer. And instead of saying hello, they just sit there and don't say a thing. They're like, because they don't want to, because you know how you have those spam callers? They're like, they wait for you to say something and then it gives you an automated message. They're worried about that tactic. They're worried about them getting spammed and scammed out of some money or whatever, I guess. So they're playing kind of the Uno reverse card. They're not saying hello immediately to unknown numbers, but they're waiting for you to say something. So if you're calling a Gen Z person and they don't say anything and they don't have your number saved, you might have to be the first one to start the conversation.
I've done this for years. If there's a number I don't recognize and I'm kind of concerned, like, is this somebody I don't want it to be a spam call or anything else. I will answer it and then just wait to hear them go, hello? I'll go, oh, okay, I know this is somebody.
First of all, my kids, when I answer the phone for them, before I can even get the hello out, they've already started talking. It's wild. But listen, and I love Gen Z. We agreed on these rules like 75 years ago when Ma and Pa Bell were around. The rule is when you pick up the phone, you say hello. We agreed on this. You don't get to change society here. All right, we agreed on these rules literally pre-war. Pre-war, we agreed on the protocol for when you get a phone call. You say hello. It's that simple. It's that a greeting that starts with the letter H. That's what we agreed on. Hi, hey, hello.
Hola.
By the way, there's already a DJ PP. So you can't take that. Literally with just the letters PP too. So
PP in the morning, every single Tuesday at this time here on Sean and RJ. Which Cowboys have the best chance to break out in 2025? That's next. And below
the belt,
right here on the Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
How close are the Cowboys to getting the Micah Parsons deal done? Well, it doesn't sound like they've even printed up a contract yet, according to Adam Schefter, who we played last hour, I believe, as he was on ESPN saying, nope, Cowboys have not even submitted an official offer yet to Micah Parsons. So they aren't even in the first step. As Mike Greenberg said, he was like, so if we're talking about a 1,000-mile trek to go somewhere, you're saying that they haven't even taken the first step. And Schefter was like, yeah. Now, I think that that's a little bit of an exaggeration to paint it in that picture of like 1,000 miles to go, they haven't taken a step.
Right.
No, it's more like.
And Jerry said after the presser that we basically agreed to everything and the deal's not done. So you went over every parameter. They went over everything basically, according to Jerry. But you think it's guaranteed money.
That's yesterday hearing Jerry talk about things and the way he was describing different, like, hypotheticals or talking about, well, if I do this, if I do that, he kept referencing when you're guaranteeing money or when you're talking about guaranteeing all that money, that sounds like that's the thing.
And let me add this. Ian Rappaport said that the Trey Hendrickson drama, it broke down over guaranteed money before camp. And Hendrickson now went on Instagram and said he's in Florida. So theirs was over guaranteed money. And I just wonder, a couple things that I'm going to randomly throw against the wall is, because after hearing the Cowboys speak, I think we are necessarily reminded that these players, Micah may not be asking for 41. He could be asking for 45. He could be asking for 46. Because Jerry said a lot of these players, some of them don't ask for what is the current high in the market right now. It's what it will be. So, and Micah's agent, like, this guy has made a name for shocking deals. Like, whoa, that player didn't. How did that player get this? How did that player get that? He gets a commission too. He wants, as a former NFL player told me yesterday, this agent uses this as, because I said, all right, how often does Micah's wishes win out versus the agent? He goes, is probably Agent Wish 1, Agent Wish 2. What?
Nothing. I was pulling up salary rankings and it screamed out an audio clip, so it startled me. Anyway,
the Agent Wish 1, Agent Wish 2, and then it gets to the player request / wish number 3, because David Mulligeta knows when it gets reported, highest ever, record-breaking, well, that's a recruiting tool for other people to come to you as well. But
yeah,
they could be asking for 46. And the other thing, I wonder if the Deshaun Watson deal is holding up this guaranteed money stuff, because they don't want to get close to guaranteeing the whole thing.
Who negotiated they're close as hell now.
Who
negotiated that Deshaun Watson deal?
David Mulligeta.
Oh, it was David Mulligeta.
I mean, they're close now. I mean, all these guys are getting 85% guaranteed.
Yeah.
So this is
digging your heels in for that. They could be punishing Micah too. Of, we had a handshake. You verbally agreed, and then you backtracked. So now you wait.
As a frame of reference, last year the highest annual salary for a cornerback was Jalen Ramsey at $24.1 million per year. Which, by the way, David Mulligeta. Number two was Patrick Surtain at $24 million. David Mulligeta.
Oh my.
And then behind that was Jair Alexander at 21. So they had already jumped the market, right? This offseason.
This is the one.
It was 24.1 for Ramsey. He got J.C. Horn $25 million a year to reset the market. And that was having played basically one season where he was really like active and on top of things. And then that was the baseline for Derek Stingley. Then got $30 million a year like the next day.
Yeah.
And it's so he, look, Mulligeta is a shark. He's the best negotiator in the NFL. His track record shows how much he just clears. So they know what they're sitting across from. And they know how, or when they, I guess they sit down actually to be across from, that they know that they can, that they know this is going to be a tough negotiation for them. So I think they are trying to get to Micah as much as they can with these talks. I think that's why they are trying to do as much of the negotiating publicly as they can instead of having to sit across. I think they're just trying to like, hey, we got to do everything we can to kind of lay the groundwork for ourselves for as much stability as we can. Jerry Jones yesterday was talking to the media as part of his hour-long press conference with Stephen Jones and Brian Schottenheimer in Oxnard, California. And he was asked about, hey, you know, what's the deal? Why don't you pay him and get him here and have him active and ready to participate?
Just because we sign him doesn't mean we're going to have him. He was hurt 6 games last year. Seriously. We've signed, I remember signing a player for the highest paid at the position in the league, and he got knocked out 2/3 of the year, Dak Prescott. So there's a lot of things you can think about when you, just as the player does, when you're thinking about committing and guaranteeing money.
Committing and guaranteeing money. There it is again.
Because I really just did not understand the example being used. I really didn't, because it's going to get spun and everyone is going to react. Like, you sideswiped and called out Micah and Dak. You called them injury prone. You said that they're not available. And that's where this is going to go. And you didn't see it that way. You didn't take this as the big insult that TJ Watt did, that Micah ended up retweeting.
No, I saw it more of like
JJ Watt.
Yeah, yeah. I saw it more of the, you know, someone bringing up like, hey, like the whole pose of the whole question of why don't you just pay these guys? And him, in a sense, the way he kind of comprehends it is, even if I pay them, it doesn't mean that they're going to play. Like, they still can get hurt. You know, even if I give them the money, just because I give them money doesn't mean they're going to play every game. Doesn't mean they're going to be here.
Yeah,
and they'll be here initially.
But what does that mean, though? Does that mean don't give them the money?
No.
What's the alternative? No.
So if you are negotiating behind the scenes, or the, you know, the discrepancy is, well, we'll guarantee the first 2 years of the deal, but we're not doing the last. You want 90% of the deal guaranteed. We're not doing that. We'll do the first 2 years of the deal like we did with Amari Cooper, who we felt like was kind of injury prone. Like, you can, if you're having those sort of discussions, then yeah, you're going to start talking publicly if you want to negotiate publicly in terms of like, you know, We got somebody dinged up. Because here's the thing. When you're talking about somebody who has had an established career that you decide to pay big money to, long-term money to, and we talk about guaranteed money, what is the biggest risk factor we always talk about tied to that? It's injury. It's not that you just all of a sudden think the guy's going to stop playing. Like, he's not going to be good.
The best ability is
availability. That's exactly what it is. So your concerns there are obviously, in the instance of somebody like Deshaun Watson, legal. You're concerned that something will come there, and that's why you put void language in there. injury.
That's what the Bengals owner said yesterday about Shamar Stewart. He goes, why should I pay him if he's in jail? Now, that is going to get spun probably racially and all that. He's trying to say if you get in trouble, trouble clauses in the contract.
Yeah, and the Bengals have needed several of those in the past because they've had a lot of guys who ended up in jail or screwing them with that sort of a thing. But it's something where I think that's why Jerry's showing you a little bit of like, here's the hangup. And here's where, because I would imagine what they want is something along the lines of, all right, if we're going to do 4 years and $168 million, that's $42 million a year. They may all agree on that. Like, yeah, sounds great to us. We all agree with that. But then if Jerry goes, all right, and $84 million of that will be totally guaranteed. And they go, no, $140 million of that is going to be totally guaranteed. That's a massive gap.
Massive. Sure.
So that's why whenever we see about like, oh, you're resetting the market, you go 42 to 41 or different things like that, people are going to care more about Kirk Cousins was willing to take when he did it 7 years ago when he left Washington. Kirk Cousins was willing to say, I will take a 3-year deal and I will take it a few million below the top of the market because you're guaranteeing all of it. Yep. And so I know I'm getting more money than most people, even if they do have the higher number.
Tolo Nate wrote me on Facebook and said, I know I'm in the minority, but I agree with Jerry on this. Micah has one sack over 4 playoff games, hasn't showed up just like the quarterback. So when is he going to pay these dudes market setting cash? The friendly and cozy welcome is no longer needed. They're now compensated, now expected to win and fill the void. It has to be frustrating to the Joneses. Just hope everyone is healthy and something doesn't derail the season.
I would like to go and see the other big time edge rushers and maybe see like if they're what their playoff numbers look like.
Obviously, generally playoff,
you're probably going up against a better left tackle than normal.
Playoff numbers slip generally for everyone.
Better quarterback, and the better quarterback generally takes fewer sacks because they're getting rid of the ball quicker.
But
so I wonder how that
but
plays.
Micah Parsons has played in 57 of 62 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not an injury. That doesn't strike me as injury prone.
Right.
Agreed. When the Cowboys signed Dak, when Dak broke his ankle, and that happened, and a lot of people thought freak injury, he had, entering that, or up until that injury, had never missed a game in his career due to injury. He broke his ankle, had an injury that year in the fifth year, and ever since then, he has had injuries pretty much every season since. So I think that they're just trying to say, not necessarily we think he's going to get injured, but hey, this is an inherent risk that we need to feel really good about this. And look, their medical staff, they have been really good about some of the contract details they've put in there. Years ago, they put a clause in Gerald McCoy's contract specifically about one quad muscle of his. It was that, like, literally he could have hurt anything else, but if he hurt that that one muscle, then he was they could void the contract. He tore it like the first day of contact drills, and they were like, okay, we voided it, we don't have to pay anything. And so, like, I mean, when they have hesitancy about like injuries and different things that they're looking at, then they are going to really approach slowly what could void it and what guarantees it.
As my dad starts off many sentences, at the end of the day, true or false?
Steven's your dad?
All of this will just be thrown into the CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott disrespect pile, and in 2 months, Micah Parsons will have his money and be ready for game one. That is what I believe.
True, 100%.
Yeah, he'll be signed by game one.
And not just that, they will be the best of friends.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's you know, we're all playing chess here. That's how it'll be positioned. It's like, yeah, everything's smoothed over, no problems at all.
They look at this like a game. And then, you know, right now they're fighting, but when the game is over, they're gonna meet at midfield, they're gonna shake hands, they're gonna exchange jerseys.
We'll get into tomorrow some of the stuff I was talking about during the break with you guys earlier. I'll like get into some of the specifics and try not to make it so heady, but we'll get into specifically why the Cowboys think financially waiting saves them money, even when the price goes up.
B-Lo.
B-Belt.
Every day, we are in training camp mode. They're stepping on the field today. What is Kevin and Corey hearing? We'll ask them in 1 hour from Oxstar. Nick Eatman will join us even before that at 9:20 in the red zone. But we got the Rangers and Josh Jung back, and a trade that Bobby's excited about if it happens for your Rangers. Choppy has it all in Diamond Cavs after this.